Welcome back, everybody. This is Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You by Neogentrix. Now, I'm just going to continue this whole thing that I'm talking about with the sickle cell anemia. It is very important. It's a very volatile topic. A lot of people don't know about it, or if they know it's there, they don't know anything about it. Now, last time we covered a couple of the different types of sickle cell that exist. There is still two remaining. They're much like the last couple. If you've listened to the last podcast, those would be sickle cell SS and sickle cell SE, hemoglobin types. Okay, in the SE format, they have one that has the S trait and one that has the E trait. Okay, in the SS format, both parents have the sickle cell trait type S, and the child inherits both. Okay. This being one of the more severe cases, not as bad as beta 0 and beta plus, but of the same anomaly. The conditions for this, though, is an abnormal protein mutation in the genes. Now, I'm not going to go into these two too in depth, okay? But just know that they do a lot of screening and checking for these specific ones as well, pushing on these factors, okay? Now, like I mentioned before, there are a lot of risk factors involved with this, okay? And in the United States, most people with this disease are African American of ancestry, and they identify themselves as black more or less. About 1 in 13 black Americans are born with this trait, and 1 out of every 365 black American babies are born with the sickle cell disease in the first place. But there are some people who come from the Hispanic, Southern, European, Middle Eastern, or Asian Indian backgrounds as well. Summing it up to about 100,000 Americans who even have this disease to start with. Now, there's things for screening and prevention in place to allow for early detection of this. Okay, and people who do not know whether or not they carry the abnormal gene can ask their doctors to have blood tests to check to see if they do. Couples who are planning to have children and know that they are at risk of the child having the disease may want to meet with a genetic counselor. The genetic counselor can answer any questions about the risk and explain the choices that are available. Okay? Now, the thing is what to look for. I mean, they're going to diagnose. Diagnosis will discuss tests, procedures that your doctor may want to use to diagnose the sickle cell disease for you and your baby. Living with is one of the things that they want to talk to you about. They'll discuss with you a recommended way to manage your complications. There's a lot of research in health regarding this, okay? That they'll also discuss with you about your current about the current research and advancing research to treat and cure the said diseases. So you might want to look in. Some people might want to look into that as well. And then there, you know, if you want to, you can participate in clinical trials where they openly discuss and enroll clinical studies on people and their mostly their blood, not so much the people, and investigate treatments and approaches to deal with these sickle cell diseases. Okay. Let's go into signs, symptoms, complications, things of that nature. If a person has the disease, it is present at birth, okay? But most infants don't have any problems from the disease until they're about 5 or 6 months of age anyway. In every state in the United States, especially the District of Columbia and every U.S. territory, it is required to have newborn babies receive screening for this disease. When a child has the disease, the parents are notified immediately. Some children with the sickle cell disease will start having problems early on and some later. Early symptoms of the disease may include a yellowish color of the skin, known as jaundice, or whites of the eyes, known as icterus. That occurs when a large number of red blood cells undergo hemolysis. It's not pretty. I'm just going to say that right now. Fatigue or fussiness from the anemia. Painful swelling of the hands and feet, known as dactylitis. Man. The signs and symptoms of sickle cell will vary from person to person and can change over time. Most of the signs and symptoms of a sickle cell disease are related to complications of the disease. A lot of the complications include acute pain. Sickle cell or vaso-occlusive crisis is one word for it. Okay, the pain episodes or crises may occur without warning when sickle cell block blood flow and decreased oxygen delivery. People describe this pain as sharp, intense, stabbing, and throbbing, or throbbing. It could be either or both. Severe cries can even be even more uncomfortable than post-surgical pains or childbirth. Surprisingly enough, a person screaming in pain of this is more ear-piercing than a lady in labor, believe it or not. Pains can strike almost anywhere in the body and in more than one spot at a time, but the pain often occurs in like several different places. I mean, it could be in your abdomen, your arms, your chest, your lower back, your legs. I mean, a crisis can be brought on by various conditions: high altitudes, dehydration, not drinking enough fluids, illness, stress, temperature changes. I mean, but often a person doesn't know the triggers or the causes of the crisis. It just happens at random. I mean, many adolescents and adults with sickle cells suffer from chronic pain. I mean, this kind of pain can be hard for people to describe, but it is usually different from crisis pains and the pain that results from organ damage. Chronic pain can be severe and can even be, it makes your life difficult. Let me just say it that way. Its cause is not well understood, for one. How do I put this? Severe anemia. Let me go with that. People with the sickle cell disease usually have mild to moderate anemia. It's usually not that bad in some people's cases. Minus the SS, SE, and SEB. I mean, minus those situations, okay? Those can be minor too, but I'm just saying. At times, however, they can have severe anemia. Severe anemia can be life-threatening, okay? Especially in an infant or a child. Many different things can be caused by this. A plastic crisis. It's usually caused by a parvovirus B19 infection. It's also known as the fifth disease or slapping cheek syndrome, okay? It's a very common infection, but in sickle cell disease, it can cause the bone marrow to stop producing new red blood cells for a while. And this is dangerous, okay? Leading to some very, very severe anemia, okay? Another one would be blood getting trapped in the spleen. Now, I know I've mentioned this before, okay? And I played it off like it's not as bad, but I mean, honestly, it is. The spleen is an organ that is located in the upper left side of your body, okay? And it filters your blood and destroys old blood cells. In people who have this disease, the red blood cells get trapped in the spleen, making it enlarge, okay? And with red blood cells trapped in the spleen, fewer are available to circulate through the body, and this can offset anemia, and the large spleen may cause pains in your left side and in the belly. And, you know, a parent can usually feel the enlarged spleen in the belly of his or her child. With this being said, if your spleen should ever explode, you're in actually a lot of danger, because all that's going to start spreading throughout your body, and it can actually be as poison to you. So this is just a heads up to you. Sequestration. Man, these words are hard to pronounce. I wrote them down, okay? This is the reason I wrote them down, because I can't remember them because they're so hard to say. Splenic sequestration, okay, crisis, and a plastic crisis most commonly occur in infants and children, though, who have the disease anyway. But adults who have the sickle cell disease may also experience episodes of severe anemia still from time to time, okay? But these usually have other causes. No matter the cause, though, severe anemia can lead to symptoms that include fatigue, dizziness, pale skin, shortness of breath. I don't know why I said that so sluggishly. But babies and newborns with severe anemia may not want to eat and may seem very sluggish, okay? With that being said, there are infections to also be aware of. The spleen is important for protection against some certain kinds of infections. So there's its function. The sickle cells can damage the spleen and weaken and or destroy its functions, even in young patients. And I mean, people who have the disease, who have damaged spleens, are at risk of severe bacterial infections in the blood, lungs, brain, bones. I mean, it's life-threatening. Let's just put it that way. A lot of the bacteria that you can end up with, one of them being chlamydia, ironically enough, it's not just an STD. You can get that from this. Hemophilia, influenza type B, meningococcus, mycoplasma, pneumonia, pneumococcus, salmonella can be resulted as this. Staphylococcus, I hate that word. Also is one of the different bacteria you can get infected with. And keep in mind, each one of these is worse going down. Okay? I listed them in that order on purpose. Chlamydia is not as bad as it sounds, believe it or not. That's why it's at the top. It's bad, but it's not that bad. Then there's the other one, acute chest syndrome, okay? Sickling in blood cells of the lungs can deprive a person's lungs of oxygen, obviously. And when this happens, areas of the lung tissue can get damaged and cannot exchange oxygen properly. And this is known as acute chest syndrome, right? At least one segment of the lung is damaged as a result of this, okay? And the condition is very serious and should be treated immediately if it should ever happen. It usually often starts a few days after a painful crisis begins. A lung infection may accompany acute chest syndrome at any given time. And with that, the symptoms may include chest pains, coughing, fever, rapid breathing, shortness of breath. Okay, now we're getting into like the more serious stuff here. I had to take a break. Everyone needs a break. We're going to move on to the next thing here. I stopped with the last topic. I was talking about acute chest syndrome. Let me go into another more complicated matter. It also affects your brain, okay? This disease, it's very, very important. It's one of the main fields that, you know, aside from cancer, is very detrimental to a lot of humans. Now, while it's not as common a thing, it's still, you know, we lose a lot of people as a result of it. Okay, so with the brain complications, okay, there's something called a clinical stroke. Okay, a stroke occurs when blood flow is blocked to a part of your brain. Okay, and when this happens, the brain cells can be damaged or they can die, which I know how bad that sounds, but I mean, it's basically the case. In sickle cell disease, a clinical stroke means that a person shows outward signs that something is definitely wrong with them. Okay, the symptoms depend upon whether a part of the brain is affected. Symptoms of a stroke may include, you know, loss of balance, severe headache, trouble speaking, walking, and understanding, weakness of an arm or leg on one side of the body. As many as 24% of people with hemoglobin SS, out of all of them, 10% of people with hemoglobin SC may suffer a clinical stroke by the age of 45. Now, in children, clinical strokes occur most commonly between the ages of 2 to 9, but recent prevention strategies have lowered that risk. Now, when a person who has these symptoms, or rather shows symptoms of a stroke with the sickle cell disease, their family or friends are required to dial 911 immediately because a silent stroke, or even a stroke in general, can be detrimental. The other one to worry about is silent stroke and thinking problems. Brain imaging and tests of thinking, cognitive studies have shown that children and adults with hemoglobin SS and hemoglobin sigma beta zero often have signs of silent brain injury, also called silent strokes. Okay, silent brain injury is damage to the brain without showing outward signs of a stroke at all. And this injury is common. Okay, silent brain injury can lead to difficulty in hearing, making decisions, or holding down a job. Believe it or not, that's a cause. Another one would be eye problems. Like I mentioned before, it can injure blood vessels in the eyes. A common site of damage is the retina, where blood vessels can overgrow, get blocked, or bleed. And the retina is the light-sensitive layer of tissue that, you know, lines the inside of the eye and sends visual messages through the optic nerve to your brain. Okay, detachment of the retina can occur from this. And when the retina detaches, it is lifted and pulled from its normal position. These problems can cause visual impairment or vision loss. So yeah, going blind is a big deal. Another one would be heart disease. And this one should be pretty much understood. But, you know, I'm going to cover it anyway. People who have this problem with blood vessels in the heart cause, you know, heart problems and heart function issues. The heart can become larger than normal because they're building up inside it. People who have sickle cell can also develop pulmonary hypertension. And, you know, basically to block the blood vessels to the point where the heart can't pump and it just stops. It's similar to cardiac arrest, except the heart is basically inflamed, like it's enlarged. People who have the sickle cell disease who have received frequent blood transfusions may also have heart damage from iron overload as well. The pulmonary hypertension, it in adolescents and adults, injury to blood vessels in the lungs may make it hard for the heart to pump blood through those blood vessels because they're damaged. For one, this causes the pressure in the lung blood vessels to rise. High pressure through these vessels is called pulmonary hypertension. Symptoms may include shortness of breath, fatigue. And when this condition is severe, it is also associated with a higher risk of death. For one, you can't breathe. Okay. Another thing to keep in mind is kidney problems. The kidneys are sensitive to the effect of blood, especially the red blood sickle cells. Sickle cell disease causes the kidneys to have trouble making the urine as concentrated as it should be. This may lead to the need to urinate often, and I mean often, to the point where you're bedwetting and you have uncontrollable urine during the night. Like, you'll wake up and your bed's just freaking soaked. I mean, this often starts in childhood, and other problems may, you know, occur as well, such as blood in the urine, decreased kidney function, kidney failure, in some cases, kidney disease, protein loss in the urine as well. Now, another one that's not as common would be priapism. Males who have the sickle cell disease can have unwanted, sometimes prolonged, painful erections, okay? And this condition is called priapism. Priapism, I hate this word. Anyway, when blood flows out of the erected penis, when it flows out of the penis, it's blocked by sickle cell, okay? And if it goes on for a long period of time, it can cause permanent damage to your package and lead to impotence. I hate that word. There's a lot of words I don't like, but specifically talking about a man's junk in this regard, it's just painful to even say these words. And the thing is, priapism can last for more than 4 hours. If it does, you need to see medical attention immediately. I take that back. If it occurs at all for more than 20 minutes, seek medical attention. Just the thought of this as another guy is just awful. Moving right along here. Next is gallstones. I don't think I need to even explain what this is. But basically, when the red cells undergo hemolysis, they release hemoglobin, okay? This is understood. Hemoglobin gets broken down into a substance called bilirubin. It can form stones that get stuck in the gallbladder. The gallbladder is a small sac-shaped organ beneath the liver that helps with digestion, okay? And the gallbladder is, you know, gallstones are a common problem with sickle cell disease, okay? It may be formed early, but may not produce symptoms for years, okay? And when symptoms do develop, just a thought of this, can cause nausea, vomiting, right side upper belly pain. I mean, if problems continue to occur, you're going to need surgery to remove them, just put it this way. And by the way, if you ever have to pass a gallstone, God help you. That crap is painful. You think it's bad enough when you hear someone scream bloody murder, just wait till this happens to you. Or rather yet, make sure you drink lots of fluids so this doesn't happen to you. Another is a liver complication. There are a number of ways in which the liver may be injured by the sickle cell disease. Sickle cell intrahepatic cholestasis is an uncommon but severe type of liver damage that occurs when sickle red cell blocks blood vessels in the liver. This blockage prevents enough oxygen from reaching liver tissue. Okay? These episodes are usually sudden and may reoccur. Children often recover, but some adults may have chronic pain that leads to liver failure later. And people who have sickle cell disease who have received frequent blood transfusions may also develop liver damage from iron overload. Another one would be leg ulcers. Sickle cell ulcers are sores that usually start small and then get larger and larger. The number of ulcers can vary from one to many. Some ulcers will heal quickly, but others may not heal and may last for long periods of time. And some ulcers come back after healing, so this is another problem to be aware of. People who have sickle cell disease usually don't get ulcers until after the age of 10, but the fact that remains that they still are there. Another one would be joint complications, sickling in the bones of the hip, which is less common. The shoulder joints, knees, ankles can decrease oxygen flow and result in severe damage in those areas as well. The damage is a condition called avascular or aseptic necrosis. The disease is usually found in adolescents and adults, not so much kids because their bodies haven't developed yet. I mean, but the symptoms include pain and problems with walking and joint movement. A person may need pain medicine, medicines, surgery, or joint replacement if the symptoms even persist. Another one would be delayed growth and puberty. Children who have the sickle cell disease may grow and develop more slowly than their peers because of the anemia. They will reach full sexual maturity, but this may also be delayed. Another one would be pregnancy. Pregnancy in women who have this disease can be risky, both for the mother and for the child. Mothers have the medical complication that includes blood clots, high blood pressure, increased pain episodes, infections. Oh, and on that note, they also have a higher risk of miscarriages, premature births, small for date, or underweight babies as another problem. And while this sounds sad, this is the god-awful truth of this situation. Another thing to be aware of is mental health. As in other chronic diseases, people who have sickle cell disease may feel sad, frustrated in times. I mean, the limitations that sickle cell disease can impose on a person's daily activities may cause them to feel isolated from others at times, sometimes even depressed. People who have the disease may also have trouble coping with pain, fatigue, as well as the frequent medical visits and hospitalizations that they have to deal with. You know, there are things to look for that would help with this, like treatments. You know, when you go to them, when you go to the doctor, they discuss different treatments to help with the complications or side effects, you know, and then they help you to live with these different things that happen to you. I will say this, as tragic as this disease sounds, I mean, in some cases, it's a lot worse than in other scenarios. But the fact of the matter remains that they can at least still do something for you. Okay, now that's it for now with this specific topic. Next time we'll be covering a little bit more in this field. Enjoy the rest of your day. Again, this is Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You by Neo Gentrix. Please look forward to part 3.